Well, good morning, Bible Way Church, and to the folks who are joining us by internet all across the world. We are here this morning, and it's an unusual service because of the situation with the virus and the social distancing and what have you. We've been able to bring you church this morning via the cameras and the technology that God has given to this church. Just a couple of things. We're going to make some quick announcements. I do hope that you'll be able to look at the Sunday School, which actually has more announcements in it. And then the pastor will be coming to bring a great message this morning. So in the way of announcements this morning, and again, this is a short version, we want to look at the situation of the coronavirus. First thing I would tell you is, listen, particularly, I know that we all think that we're immune and that bad things couldn't happen to us sometimes, but we're all susceptible to this thing. So follow the guidance. The restrictions are asked to avoid exposure, particularly if you have some underlying health issue. Just let's let this thing get through the community, and smart people are watching it. They're looking after that. So if you would, just follow those guidelines. Make sure you keep washing your hands. In the announcements for Sunday School I mentioned, they say to wash your hands at least 20 seconds. If you recite the 23rd Psalm, that's about 30 seconds to recite that at a fair pace. Or spend that 20 seconds praying for somebody. Sing a little song, but 20 seconds is the minimum you need to do to wash your hands to keep yourself healthy. So if you'll please do that. And then expect call-alls to make us aware of where we're at on services as we go forward. Now, this is online. And also would encourage you that if you can't reach it, or you have a family or friend that can't reach it, we can provide compact discs and DVDs with different messages on it. A huge amount of sermon material that is here online, and would encourage you to point people towards that, including the C52 video, the 15 minutes video that could make a real difference in your life, not only in this world, but in that which is to come. So great resources for you to reach out while we're kind of sequestering. You're not alone, particularly to our folks who may have some limitations naturally. You didn't go out a lot. You didn't have the ability to do the things that you always wanted to do. You can reach out. Call someone. Call the pastor. If you could use some help, with groceries, changing a light bulb at your house. If you're just lonely, you need someone to pick up medicine. Please do not let this church miss out on the opportunity to do something good for you, our faithful congregation. If you need something, call the pastor, and we sure want to be a blessing to people within the church, to the people within the church. All right, with that, but just before the special music, I'm going to ask Brother Coulter if he'll come and if he'll pray for us this morning and open for us in prayer, and then Miss Laura and Miss Charity are going to sing for us. Brother Coulter.
Lord Jesus, God in heaven, I thank you this wonderful day, Lord. Thank you for your holy presence that's already been here this morning, Lord. Oh, how dirty we are, but yet, Lord, you came to seek that which is lost, Lord, to clean us up, Lord, and let us partake in thy holiness, God, and how wonderful that is. And I ask you to bless the pastor as he comes to stand, Lord, and I ask you to anoint him from on high, God, as it goes out, the message, Lord. And they may not could come here and get the message, God, but we could take it to them. Thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for your sweet blessings and being here today. Amen.
And with that, the ladies will sing for us, and then Pastor Vinoy will come this morning. Praise God this morning. I'm glad I don't have to answer that question, because I'm with Him and He's with me. Amen. He said, without me, you can do nothing. I couldn't even breathe this morning without Him. Thank the Lord for my Savior, the Lord Jesus. It's an honor to be with you by way of the video. I miss you all. I've sat there on the front bench now for about an hour, looking at an empty choir. I can see the faces in my mind, hear the voices in my mind, and hear Brother Ralph leading that choir this morning. Praise God for our people. Looking out there this morning at the auditorium, and we got Brother Junior with us, and Brother Steve, of course, and Brother Colt, and Brother Jim, and Brother Richards back in the back. And we had to bring Sister Rachel to keep them straight. But anyway, I thank God that He promised where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Blessing to have Laura and Charity to come and sing for us today. Stirred my heart. Appreciate the Lord. Thank you for tuning in. And just have others. Maybe if you get a link to the video. I thought about this. Go to YouTube. And of course you can search Bible Way Baptist Church Kingsport. And the video will come up. And maybe just send that link by way of email or by way of text to somebody that's not able to have church today. Maybe somebody that's shut in. And I believe God will use it. The Word of God said little is much, or teaches us little is much when God's in it. Amen. The widow's mite wouldn't seem like much. The little lad's lunch didn't seem like much. But you put it in the hands of an almighty Savior, and He begins to break it. He begins to bless it. And He can make much out of it. We're going to be in Psalm 142 this morning, Psalm chapter 8 to begin with, and I want to read a verse of Scripture that we've been reading, and I looked this morning as Brother Steve was making the announcements, and it looks like there's could be as much as 24 parts to this standing all. I didn't know that. I know last week we stood in awe of the peace of God in the midst of all that's going on. And today, I said Psalm 8, didn't I? I believe it's Psalm 4 is where I want to go. Psalm 4, verse number 4, the Word of God said, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still, Selah. I believe what we're going through in America right now is a good time to be still and know that He's God. A good time to stand in awe of His blessings and to stand in awe of His Word. We're going to be standing in awe this morning in Psalm 142. We're going to stand in awe of the consolation in the cave. I believe God wants us today to look at the consolation in the cave. Let's begin reading in verse number 1 in Psalm 142. The Word of God said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before Him. I showed before Him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then Thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walk, they have privately laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand, and behold, there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. In verse number 5, David said, I cried unto Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise Thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for Thou shalt deal bountifully with me. If correctly read, that's verse 1 through verse 7 of Psalm 142. Would you pray with me for a moment? And please pray for me. Father, I thank You today that, Lord, You know what we need even before we ask. But we take just a moment, our Father, to ask You to help us. Because, our Father, in order for us to be a help to others, we must look to heaven for You to help us. God, I pray You'd help us that are gathered today. Help each one, Lord, that will view the video and, Lord, hear the Word of God. Lord, I thank You, Father, this morning for the ability that we have to get the Word out in these days. Lord, Jesus is coming. I believe You're trying to tell the world, y'all are not as smart as you think you are. You're not as big as you think you are. Lord, You're trying to tell the world they need to get ready. Because Jesus is coming. Lord, I pray this morning now that You'd anoint the lips of this preacher. God, be with our families that are brokenhearted. I pray You'd lift Sister Frankie up in Your arms today. Lord, I pray You'd lift Brother Gerald up in Your arms today and carry him, our Father, through this time in their lives. Lord, we look forward to the day when You'll come again. And Lord, our hearts will never break again. We'll never be fighting another virus or another sickness again. But all is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, Lord. What a glorious day that will be. Help us now, Lord. And we might be a help in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. I thought this morning with the title to the message that it might be good just to start off with a little bit of definition. What does the word consolation mean? God has given us a thought. I mean, I thought before last night that I might be speaking over there where the disciples were gathered behind closed doors for the fear of the Jews. But the Lord has a way of nudging our hearts. Thank God He has access to my heart. And He began to put this scripture on my mind. And I began to think about a man that was in a cave. It was no fault of his own. The president has said over and over that we're fighting something that's no fault of our own. But yet we must fight. David was not in the cave because of his sin with Bathsheba.
David was in the cave because of his stand against Goliath. He went out there and God used him, a young man, to win the battle. And Saul got jealous of him. And Saul was hunting him like a dog. And David's hiding out in a cave. I thought about how that many people today are gathered in their homes. They don't know what the future holds. Many, Lord, have lungs, Lord, that are scarred by pneumonia and different underlying issues. And there's a measure of fear. Well, I want you to know it's all right. There's a man here in the scripture that's a man after God's own heart. He cries out words like, I poured out my complaint. He poured out his heart to God. Let's use this as an opportunity to pour out our hearts to the Lord. Oh, beloved, the word consolation. Let me give you just a little bit about what the Lord has given us here. It means the comfort received by a person after a loss or a disappointment. I want you to think about that. David said, I looked on my right hand, and there was no man that cared for my soul. You might look on your right hand wherever you are today, and there might not be anybody. But I tell you, there's one. You might not be able to see him, honey, but I tell you, listen, he's in the midst. I believe with all of my heart this morning, the church, when you look out across it, it appears to be almost empty. But I tell you, down in my heart, it feels awful full because the Lord Jesus is here with us today. And I thank the Lord for that. The word consolation, it means a comfort received by a person after a loss or disappointment. It means a person or a thing providing comfort to a person who has suffered. I want you to know today, beloved, listen, we have a Savior. He said, I'm going away. But he said, boys, don't worry about it. I'm going to send you another comforter. Aren't you glad the Holy Ghost is with us in this generation? Amen. He said, I'll never leave thee. I'll never forsake thee. As I get into the message today, the consolation in the cave, I stand in awe that David, the man after God's own heart, could be hunted like a dog. That Saul, the Word of God said, jealousy is as cruel as the grave. I tell you, beloved, there's a lot of people that's eat up with that spirit today. But thank God there's victory over that spirit through the Lord Jesus Christ. David said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice, he said, I cried unto thee. Beloved, I did make my supplication. I want to give you something this morning. First of all, in the message, there's great consolation. There's great comfort in the cave because there's someone to talk to. Thank God this morning, beloved, listen, David said, I looked over there, there's nobody. I looked on my right hand, there's nobody that cared for my soul. But there's somebody in this cave that's listening. There's somebody that I can talk to. I want you to know this morning, beloved, it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter where you're what you're going through, or what you've been through, or what you might go through tomorrow. I want you to know in those cave experiences of life, there's a God in heaven, beloved, that says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Aren't you glad this morning when Jesus died on that cross, that veil in that temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. And God says, y'all can come on in to the Holy of Holies. You've been washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. And now you have access into the holiest of all. I want you to know, beloved, listen, that word here in the beginning of the psalm, it says, a maskil of David, if I'm pronouncing it right. What it means is an instructive poem. Oh, thank God, God's given us some instruction that in the caves of life, beloved, we have access to a Father that knows where we are and knows what we need even before we ask. But he said, ask, and you shall receive. Thank the Lord this morning. There's someone to talk to. He said, I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. I'll just go ahead and give you this, in case there's a TV evangelist watching, a beloved that says you ain't never going to have no trouble if you live for God. This man of God was living for God. This man of God was walking with God. And yet he found himself in a cave in this life. And beloved, talking to the Lord and pouring out his heart to God. Someone to talk to. Give you the second thing now that's on my heart this morning. Lord, praise God for the liberty. As the people in our church, you might not be here, but you're praying. You're praying for your pastor, praying for your family, and praying for our nation, praying for our leaders, and I thank God for you. Amen. There's someone to talk to. Secondly, in the message today, there's someone that knows exactly where we are. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Watch what the Word of God said in verse number 3. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, I thought about Brother Coulter's family that I saw in the news. One family already, as a result of this virus, there was 4 people that died in one family as a result of this virus. Charity, honey, their spirit is overwhelmed within them. We don't know what's going to happen. I'm not trying to induce fear. I'm trying to induce faith. I'm trying to tell you there's a God in heaven that knows where we are. Amen. Doesn't matter if we're in a cave. Doesn't matter if we're on the sea. It doesn't matter if we're on the mountaintop. God knows where we are. Look at verse 3. The Word of God said, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. Glory to God. Oh, beloved friend, listen, I serve a God. You can't teach him anything because he knows everything. You don't have to tell him where you are even because he knows where you are. He knows the path that we take. And I thank God that he does. There's someone who knows exactly where we are. He said, in the way wherein I walked, have they privately laid a snare for me. I tell you what I believe. I might be foolish this morning, but I'm just telling you my heart. I believe God is going to take this thing and going to help us as a country. I believe, beloved, listen, you already see Democrats and Republicans coming together. I believe you're going to see families coming together. I believe we're going to see, beloved, listen, some medicine being made in America instead of relying on countries, beloved, that hate our guts. I believe God's going to straighten some things out. Amen. I believe it's meant for evil, but God meant it for good. I believe all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. He knows our path. All I need to know this morning is I love him, and he loves me, and he's going to take care of us this morning. There's someone to talk to. There's someone who knows exactly where we are. Thirdly, this morning, there's something here that kind of blesses me heart. In verse number 4, the Word of God said, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. In verse number 5, I cried unto the Lord. I cried unto thee, O Lord, I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Years ago, I studied this passage of Scripture, and I'll never forget how that it seemed contradictory. When I read verse number 4, the psalmist David said, refuge failed me. When I read verse number 5, it said, thou art my refuge. And I was confronted with something that I understood years ago and still understand today. If it seems like there's a contradiction, the problem is not the Word of God. The problem's me. I'm just not understanding it yet. God's saying something that I just ain't got a hold of. Well, at that time, I had one of them things they call a Strong's Concordance. I mean, one of them old big, thick things. I got it all on computer now where you can go and look up a Hebrew word, look up a Greek word. I don't speak Greek and I don't speak Hebrew, but I can look something up and read the definition, amen? And sometimes. Anyway, beloved, listen, I want to give you what God's talking about here. The third thing in the message, there's someone who provides a hiding place. I was reading over my notes a while ago, sitting there on the front bench, and the Holy Ghost said, you ain't got that just right. Because we're not looking at someone who provides a hiding place. We're looking at someone who is a hiding place. Amen. God is our refuge, a strong and mighty tower. You say, preacher, what's going on in the text? I looked on my right hand, beheld, there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. When you look up that word refuge in the Hebrew language, it comes from a word, I may not get it exactly right, but I'll try, from the Hebrew word manasseh. And it means a fleeing, escape, a way to flee, flight, or refuge. Now what David is saying in verse number 4 is, refuge failed me. I'm in this cave. Saul's right out there waiting on me. There ain't no way out of this cave. There's no way to flee. There's nowhere to go. We don't know what's going to happen in America. Already in California. Already in New York. I've heard this morning from a good reputable source that this virus may be in Asheville, North Carolina in the hospital right now. I don't know that for sure, but that's what I've heard from a reputable source this morning. I just want you to know, beloved, none of us are exempt. But already in in New York, and already in California, they're telling people to stay home, to shelter in place. In other words, there may not be any place to go. You just got to go home, hunker down, and stay there until, beloved, we can get through this. That may come a day when that would hit us here locally. We just don't know. But here's what I do know. When there comes a day that I can't get out, when there comes a day when there's no place to run, I'll still have a refuge. It just won't be the Hebrew word manasseh. It'll come from the Hebrew word makaseh. And they say it's real close, but in the English language, same word, refuge. Here's what it means in verse number 5. When he said, thou art my refuge, it means hope. It means a place of hope. It means a shelter. It means a trust. It means a covert in the storm. Thank God. Listen, when we can't get out and we get in the cave, there's a consolation. We can camp out in Jesus. And beloved, he is our refuge. We don't have to get out of the cave. We can just be still. Like Psalm 4 said, we can, beloved, meditate on the things of God and fill our hearts and minds with him. Oh, beloved friend, what a blessing. Now, let me give you this. I tell you, I'm stirred up. Years ago, a fella said to me, you act like you're happy. I said, well, there's a problem with what you just said. He said, what? I said, I'm not acting. I am happy. Acting's what they do out there in Hollywood. Say amen. I is happy. Amen. I'm happy in the Lord Jesus. I'm happy to be here. One old preacher said, you get as old as I am, you're happy to be anywhere. Amen. Thank God for the privilege to share the Word of God. Let's get down to this last thing. I saved some good stuff here. Amen. It's fixing to get gooder and gooder. And tweeter and tweeter, amen. This last thing here, let me get down to it. Not only is there someone to talk to, that's a consolation in the cave. There's someone who knows exactly where we are. That's a consolation in the cave. There's someone who is a hiding place. That's a consolation in the cave. But let me give you this. There's someone who will ultimately bring us out of our cave. You say, preacher, where did you get that? I'm glad you asked. I might not have told you if you hadn't asked. But since you asked, let me show you. The Word of God said in verse number 6, attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. I want you to know, beloved, there's some things in this world stronger than I am. But I want you to know this, there's nothing in this world stronger than he is. And the Word of God said that our strength, his strength rather, is made perfect in our weakness. So David is in a weak place in the cave. He said, my persecutors are stronger than I. He said in verse 7, bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name. Now I want you to see this. There's someone who will ultimately bring us out of our cave. The Word of God said, the righteous shall compass me about. David, listen, David is saying, I'm looking over there, and right now I don't see any of the righteous. There ain't no man that cares for my soul. I'm in this cave all alone. But he said, it ain't going to be that way long. He said, just a little while, he said, the righteous are going to compass me about. Watch this now. And the Word of God said, for thou shalt deal bountifully with my soul. I want to give you this. There's someone who will ultimately bring us out of our cave. The Word of God, listen, right now the president has said we're at war with a virus. And I believe that's right. I believe we ought to do everything that we can to prepare. I believe we ought to take every precaution that we can. I've washed my hands more in the last 10 days than I have in the last 10 years. Amen. I believe we ought to do everything that we can to take care of ourselves, to prepare if we have to hunker down for a week or two or a month, just have some things on hand. And if you don't have, call some of us at the church. Amen. We've got deacons that love you. The pastor loves you. My daughter told me this morning, she said, Daddy, some of us young people would be glad to help anybody that needs help. But watch this. He's going to bring us out of the cave. That old virus is an enemy. Well, the Word of God, this is what come to my heart. The last enemy, the Word of God said, that shall be destroyed is death. Amen. Death, listen to me. Everybody's all tore up about this virus. But there's another enemy right outside the door, knocking on the door. The Word of God said the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. You can have peace if you're ready to die. Because if you're ready to die, you ain't going to die. You say, preacher, I don't get it. Well, let me give you a verse of Scripture. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Amen. Believest thou this? We don't have to be afraid. If we've trusted Jesus as our Savior, yes, sir, the enemy's out there and the enemy's wanting to come in. I heard a little story. I love this. A telemarketer called home one day and a small voice whispered, hello? Hello, what is your name? This fellow whispering said, my name's Jimmy. Said, Jimmy? How old are you? He said, I'm 4 years old. And they said, good. Is your mother home? Yes, but she's busy. Okay, is your father home? Said, he's busy too. He said, I see. Who else is there? He said, the police. The police? May I speak with one of them? He said, no, they're busy. And another grown-up, or any other grown-ups there? He said, the firemen. May I speak with one of the firemen, please? He said, no. They're all busy. Jimmy, all those people in your house, and I can't talk with any of them. What are they doing? He said, they're looking for me. You know what death's doing? Looking for me. Now, Coulter, don't begin to hit on me like that. Amen. Amen. He can't find me. Why? Because my life is hid with God in Christ. Hallelujah. He's looking for me. But I'm going to tell you, when my time comes to leave this world, to be absent from the body, is to be present with the Lord. I tell you what I believe. I believe that Jesus is coming. And I believe that God's people ought to take this opportunity to let our light shine. On his deathbed, the British preacher Charles Simeon, he smiled brightly and he asked the people gathered in his room, "What do you think especially gives me comfort at this time?" When they all remained silent, he exclaimed, "The creation." He said, "I ask myself, did Jehovah create the world or did I?" He said, "He did." Now, if he made the world and all the rolling spheres of the universe, he certainly can take care of me. Into Jesus' hands, I can safely commit my spirit. Hudson Taylor, the founder of the China Inland Mission, in the closing months of his life, he said to a friend, he said, "I'm so weak, I can't read my Bible." He said, "I'm so weak, I can't even pray." He said, "I can only lie still in God's arms like a little child and trust." You want to know why a man leaving this world can say things like that? Because he's got a hiding place. He's found out that there's a consolation in the cave. Amen. The word of God said here, "The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me." The psalmist said in Psalm 17:15, "As for me," I want you to get these two words. He said, "I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." I'm closing now. But as I looked at that verse last night, the Lord underscored those two words, "I will." Now, I like it when God says, "I will do something." But here it's not God saying, "I will." It's the man of God saying, "I will." "I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." In this room, my daughter Charity probably knows me better than anybody else in this room outside of Jesus, and he is in this room. And my daughter Charity knows that I've got faults. I've got failures. I've got flaws. But there's hope. Because one day, I'm going to be just like Jesus. I'm going to leave my faults and my failures and my sin behind. And I'm going to be just like Jesus. I thought about a few things when I read that verse of Scripture. "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness." I haven't seen the face of the Lord, but I will. I haven't, like Mary, wrapped my arms around the bottom of his legs and looked down where the spikes went through his feet. But I will. I've never shook the hand that was pierced by the nails on an old rugged cross. But I will. I've never known what it's like to never hurt, but I will. I've never known what it's like to live a sinless day, but I will. I've never known what it's like to live a day without a burden, but I will. I've never known and been exactly all that I should be, but I will. This morning I miss God's youngins. I've never known what it's like to gather with all of God's youngins at the same time, but I will. John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Then in Revelation, he said, "Come." Another John That first one was John the Baptist. This next John is John the beloved disciple. He said, I'll show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. The Lamb of God that gave his life has a wife that's going to gather around the throne of God one day. We'll get to be with them all. Won't be any social distancing. Glory to God. I will behold thy face in righteousness. The last enemy's death. He'll call one day. He'll come looking for me, but he can't find me because I'm hiding in Jesus. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. They say that this virus is transmitted through droplets. You better stay away from this pulpit for a while. I don't believe we ought to be sprinkled to be baptized, but this pulpit's been sprinkled this morning. If you're watching today, I want to encourage you to do something. Make sure you're in Christ. Make sure that when that enemy comes looking for you, and be like little Jimmy. Say they're looking for me. But it's pretty evident they hadn't found him. He must have been hid pretty good. I love y'all this morning. Thank you for tuning in. Let's pray together. We'll be dismissed. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege to open this old book. God, I never know when I'll preach my last message. But I know this, even in the caves of life, you're the one that comforts us. God, I pray that somewhere under the sound of my voice, there might be somebody that feels like they're in a cave. What they need today, Lord, is not comfort. They need conviction. They need to understand that if they're not ready to meet God, if they've never been born again, they must repent. They must come to Jesus. They must believe that he died and he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scripture. Lord, until we meet again, keep our people safe. Help us, Lord, to be a help to others. As Brother Steve said this morning, to let our light shine and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Thank you, Lord, for each one that's made it possible to post this video. We love you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, God bless you all. Amen.